This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Talking some Wyoming Cowboys football with the one and only Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com. Cody, my man, we're getting dangerously close. It's officially game week for some teams, not Wyoming yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, isn't it wild, man? This fall's really blown by quick, and 11 days out, man. It's really hard to believe that it's come so quick, but ready, more than ready to get down to Fort Collins, and you'll never hear me say that.
I've seen you in Fort Collins outside of football once. I think you came and hung out with us at one of our remotes. It was cool. Cody, my man, you know I do this Pixar on Friday. Everybody knows that thing. So next week, going to be making a crucial pick when it comes down to the Border War 2026 version. Tell me why Wyoming's going to win this game.
Well, they got their number, right?
I mean, it sure seems like they do. I mean, last year it was, and I picked that correctly. I don't remember what the spread was in that game, but let's just say we hit it. What is it, 28-0 Wyoming?
Yeah, 28-0, yep.
So what I'm excited to see with Wyoming, I know I just pencil it in that the defense is going to be amazing, but you've talked about him a lot now, and that's Tyler Hughes at quarterback.
Yeah, you know, if I'm going to make a pitch for why they're going to win, I think they're going to go with what they always do, which is play great defense. And now to have that element under center that they haven't had in so long, this kid can run, he can throw, he's the absolute dual threat guy. So I think he's a real X factor. And, you know, we were only able to watch three practices. Jay Sobel shut it down to the media mainly because CSU's first on the docket and he doesn't want the spies, so to speak, heading up to Laramie to watch him practice. But, Eric Richardson is a guy I keep hearing about over and over again, speedy wide receiver. He was with the team last year, but apparently he's made leaps and bounds this year. So they feel really good about him. They feel really good about their tight end unit. But if I could throw you a wild card here, CSU has, 38 transfers, I want to say.
Yeah.
They have an entire new staff. It's pretty hard to teach the hatred that takes place in this rivalry in a matter of an off season to a bunch of dudes who've never even heard of Wyoming before in their lives. And Wyoming has that chip. They will always have that chip when it comes to CSU. And now the fact they're in the Pac-12 and all that, you know, new coach, shiny new things, you know, Wyoming, that hatred's ingrained and it's hard to teach that. And I think that's been a big part of this rivalry for the last 15 years or so. It's just Wyoming dislikes them more. And you can see it on the field, in my opinion.
Cody, I was getting into this argument last week with a mutual friend of ours, Go Pokes, and I said I wasn't saying that Wyoming thinks CSU is better than them. I said Wyoming fans might think that CSU thinks that they are better than them by going to the Pac-12. Oh, we're moving on to this fancy conference, and they're going to use that as fuel. Go Pokes completely shut that down. He said nobody's thinking that way, and I would be if I were in Wyoming. I'd be, oh, you think you're all great because you're going to the Pac-12 and it's all fancy there with Oregon State and Washington State. We're about to show you what we're all about.
Well, I think that Wyoming people have thought that about Fort Collins anyway.
Right.
They're better. I don't think the Pac-12 is maybe just a little added feather. Other than that, I mean, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And, you know, I always like to tell people there's definitely a border there. And I believe I've made this comparison on your show before. Some of us wear Carhartts and chew Copenhagen and drink whiskey. And some of us have oranges on the side of our beer and wear a North Face jacket. And that's the difference.
Well, to be fair, Cody, I do order that kind of beer, but I take the orange slice out of it. I don't really enjoy the fruit in the beer thing. So that kind of gives me a little Wyoming feel, I think,
there
right?
You go. Yeah, you have to ride the fence, right?
Do they even have a craft brewery place in Wyoming? Like, I mean, do they do craft beer there, or is it like nobody goes there, so they don't stay open long?
We got a couple places in town, but I don't go to those. I don't visit those establishments, so I don't know. I do know one dude who has one in downtown Cheyenne, but he has Coors on tap still, so he knows. He knows. He's catering.
He knows what to do. yeah, this battle is going to be interesting. And this is why it's so difficult to try to pick it, because CSU, I just don't know. I don't think nationally a lot of people are high on CSU at all and what they're going to do in this Pac-12, because it's so new. It's so unknown. I think there are people that look at this and say, if someone can turn around, I suppose it's Jim Mora. They're just not sure that it's going to happen this season. And this would be the opportunity for Wyoming to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you know, and I'll be honest with you, Brady, I haven't dove into Colorado State that much yet, but I did look at UConn's, you know, stats last year. When you have a quarterback who throws for, 3,800 yards and only throws one interception compared to 28 touchdowns, and you have a running back who runs for 1,200 yards, and you have a wide receiver who finishes as a Blitnikoff runner-up with 1,200 yards, I mean, you're going to win nine games. And does CSU have that in the barn right now? I mean, one would have to say probably not. Those are pretty special campaigns those guys put together. But Jim Moore is a hell of a coach, no doubt about it. But, I mean, people are just as low. Whoever that RJ Young guy is, I don't even know who that is, but saying that Wyoming is – just ahead of UMass at 137th overall in the country, that's just not intelligent. It's just not. And I know not a lot of people are high on the Cowboys either, but I think, like we talk about on your show often, especially in the off season, you just don't know. And if people act like they know, they don't. They're just talking to talk. You just don't know.
What do you make of the quarterback competition going on in Fort Collins? I'm sure you've glanced at it. Jim Mora not willing to announce who that's going to be. Is it going to be Haas Haney? Is it going to be Kason Farrar? Our guy, our mutual friend Kevin Lytle, believes it's going to be Haas Haney based on just a gut feel, and that's kind of what we thought from the get-go. But it does seem like, because Farrar was in this system with Jim Mora last year, so he's got that edge to him. But Haas Haney, a transfer from Oklahoma State, that you don't go get a guy like that for no reason. They're both young, though. What do you make of the competition and what you've heard about it so far?
Well, it's either a case of Jim Mora and his staff are holding their cards really close to the vest, and they already know, which there's a really good chance they probably already know, only being 11 days out. Or it could mean, hey, you know, the old saying, if you have two, you don't have one. And Wyoming has been in that position a number of times. And, you know, earlier this year I asked Jay Sauvel, like, hey, this isn't really a quarterback competition, right? I mean, you guys went out and paid money to get Tyler Hughes. You got him out of the portal. He has experience. His offensive coordinator's now his old offensive coordinator's now your new offensive coordinator. I mean, you know, they like to tell you there's a battle. There's not. That was the least surprising news I've maybe ever heard yesterday when he announced that Tyler Hughes was the starting QB.
Yeah, because you had been telling us that for weeks. And when I saw that, I was like, well, that's old news, because there's a reason we get Cody Tucker here on the show every single week.
Well, there was just no doubt about it. I mean, same with when Andrew Peasley. I remember Craig Bull put TBA at the top of his list when they played at Illinois, and we all knew it was going to be Andrew Peasley. And then you know, Ryan Thorburn, God bless him, he wrote in his column that week that TBA should have started instead of Andrew Peasley because it was such a bad outing at Illinois. But, you know, Jim Moran, they probably know. They probably know. They're probably just not saying right now. And you know, obviously, give Wyoming, talk to Jay Sauvel about it yesterday. How do you prepare for a team with 40 new faces and an entire new coaching staff? And it's one of those deals. He told me the same thing before they went to Arizona State, because they were in the same boat. He just said, you got to worry about your eyes, your fundamentals, shucking blocks, making tackles. You got to do all that stuff so you figure out how the other team's going to use their personnel. And obviously that did not go well in Tempe for the Cowboys, and that Arizona State team ended up in the college football playoff. But, you know, it's going to be kind of a feeling out process early, because Colorado State's not going to have a clue, for the most part, what Wyoming's offense is going to look like, because we've heard it 100 times this offseason, drastically different. They took a blowtorch to that offense last year that only averaged 16 points a game, and it is going to be drastically different and drastically better if you ask them.
Yeah, and that's the thing we've been waiting on, you know, for years now, is with Jay Sauvel, can you get that offense just slightly better? Because there were so many games where it was close, but then time after time, possession after possession, the offense just couldn't do anything. And then ultimately, and this is just natural in football, that defense is going to give in at some point, and that's typically what we saw on a weekly basis with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, I believe, last week. It's really hard to believe the Cowboys pitched two shutouts last year in the modern era of college football and finished 4-8. They had the number two overall red zone defense in the country behind only Ohio State. You know, they're in the top 45 in total overall defense, But you have to go to page 3 of the FBS website to find any of their offensive statistics. It was so bad. And the 16 points a game they scored last year, that was inflated thanks to a couple of pick sixes and a kick return for a touchdown. I mean, they didn't average 16 points a game. It was that bad.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com, talking all things Wyoming Cowboys. Okay, so you mentioned Eric Richardson at wide receiver. Is yep. that one you're kind of circling on the offensive side of the ball, outside of course, the quarterback position, where you're looking at that guy to say, okay, this is going to be the main difference maker on offense at the end of the day?
Yeah, well, yeah, aside from Samuel Toad Harris in the backfield.
Sure, yeah.
Most recently added to the Doak Walker watch list. The kid's a freak, man. He's put on 30-plus pounds of muscle since he's gotten here. He's faster than ever. He's the fastest guy on the roster. He's just – he's one of those guys, Brady, that everybody was courting the guy in high school until he blew his knee out, and Wyoming was the only one to stick with him. So the talent's there, you know, and you hear that story a lot on Wyoming's roster. Like, hey, all these huge schools were on the kid. He tore his knee. Wyoming stuck with him. So, you know, I think Wyoming's kind of reaping the benefits of their loyalty to these guys, for one. And for two, these P5 schools just aren't, or P4 schools are just not going the high school route very much anymore. And that's really benefiting the Wyomings of the world. So, Toad Harris, if he's the top running back in the Mountain West this year, I wouldn't fall out of my bar stool. We'll put it that way. And, you know, they've got a couple of tight ends, impact tight ends, and Kyle Friend and Jake Wilson, that if those guys can stay healthy, they're arguably just as big and maybe more athletic than John Michael Gillenborg, who obviously had the injury bug his entire career at Wyoming. But if those guys can stay healthy, I mean, who knows?
On the defensive side of the ball, we've discussed this. We think the defense is obviously going to pick up right where they left off. But yep. who are those guys you're kind of circling you know, with that unit?
Well, Jones Thomas returns, Fort Collins native. You know, father, grandfather's a legend at Colorado State. Father played at Colorado State. He is just, we've always heard about his freakish athleticism, and last year he kind of showed it off, and now he's in the total comfort zone. So he'll be roaming around there at the free safety spot. And another guy, another couple of guys to keep an eye on, Wyoming got kind of hurt. They got hurt pretty bad in the transfer portal as far as cornerbacks go, losing Marquis Grant to Utah State and Tyrese Boss to Arizona. But Kendall Griffin, a kid, a freshman, and Thurman Boogie Williams, another freshman, could very well be starters on the outside in Fort Collins in 11 days. And Jay Sauvell's plenty happy about that. He's totally content with it. They have a ton of talent. They just lack experience. So, you know, sometimes you just got to throw some guys in the fire and say, let's do it. So I'm looking forward to those guys. Those are really the position battles that are really hot right now, are at the cornerback spots on the defense. Other than that, that whole unit's pretty much sewn up.
Cody, always appreciate it, man. I know we'll catch up next week when we're officially in Border War Week, so we'll look forward to that conversation. But appreciate your work as always, my friend.
Sounds good, Brady. Thank you for having me.
All right, 7220sports.com. That's Cody Tucker getting some shade here from CSU people. I think Cody confuses Fort Collins with Boulder. Geography is hard. Fort Collins does do he's talking about the brewery scene. And I don't complain about it because I like the brewery scene. Cody gives me crap about it, but, you know, I like the craft brews.
They're very similar in some ways, Boulder
but
and
very
Fort
different
Collins. But
in
Fort
some
Collins
ways.
Is less pretentious.
I don't think Fort Collins is really pretentious. I think from what I've experienced, and I'm a Fort Collinsian. Is that how you say it? Fort Collinsian?
I'm a Greeleyite.
Well, I'm kind of a hybrid, I suppose, but I've never been a Boulderite. Never been that. And I'll say Boulder's beautiful.
It's very beautiful, but the people are annoying.
You start talking around there, and it's different. It's hard to believe, like, the voice of the Buffs, who will be on with us later, Mark Johnson, he's not a Boulder guy. He doesn't live there. But he's the voice of the Buffs. He's like the cowboyest cowboy there is.
Pretty cowboy.
Did you say he's a pretty cowboy? I'm going to tell him you said that.
Not pretty as an attractive.
You already said it.
Very.
You already said it.
He's very cowboy.
Very pretty cowboy. According to Michael Kirkpatrick.
If you think so, good for you.
11:50 the time, you heard it here. Mark Johnson is a very pretty cowboy. We'll be right back.
Y'all ready for this?
It's here.
It's here.
The Broncos are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.